Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
We are looking at the royal soldiering code of conduct called self-discipline. Self-discipline is simply talking about disciplining your own self without an external person coming in to help you to do the right thing or think the right way or say the right thing. There is an amazing scripture in the book of Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 27. It says that the locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. These are four things that are little on the earth, but which are exceedingly wise. All right. Now, the third of those four things is what I have just read to you. Verse 24 of Proverbs 30 says, there are four things which are little on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. All right. Talks about the ant, the rock badger. And then it talks about the locust. You know, the locust is an insect. Says that they have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. These are little on the earth. You know, the locust will seem insignificant on the earth in the ecology of the earth, but their wisdom or their lifestyle is an exceedingly wise lifestyle. What is their lifestyle? They have no king, yet the Bible says that they all advance in ranks. In other words, there is nobody who is supervising them. They have no king to give them directions, pass here, pass there, pass there. You know, but they all move in ranks. That should tell you that the locust has got self-discipline. Self-discipline is different from discipline. You can be a disciplined person, and the discipline will come from the external, where your mother tells you to do something, your father tells you to observe something before you do it, or your pastor tells you to observe something before you do it. Your headmaster tells you to go a certain way, housemaster tells you to regulate yourself in a certain way, and then you do it. You can say that you are disciplined, all right, by obeying those positive things from the authorities who are over you. But self-discipline is where there is nobody who is giving you directions, there is nobody who is supervising you, there is nobody who is going to test you, yet you do the right thing that must be done at a particular time. Now, this is a way of conduct that believers who are soldiers in the royal army of the kingdom of God, in the visible royal army of the kingdom of God, are supposed to live their lives by this code of conduct of self-discipline. Self-discipline is the ability to stick to a required regimen when nobody is around to influence you. All right. Nobody is around to encourage you. Nobody is around to maybe force you to do something. Yes, till you do the right thing on your own. That is where we call you a self-disciplined person, a self-regulated person. Hallelujah. It's wonderful, because if your king is not an external personality or entity, all right, if what is influencing you is not coming from outside you, then it must be coming from inside you. It's an exceedingly wise way of being a self-motivated person. That means that your king is actually inside. This is wonderful. This is the kingdom life that God has got for us. That is why the Bible says that it is an exceedingly wise way of going about things. And the kingdom of God, ladies and gentlemen, is about living the high life of the kingdom of God. And it is a wise life. Let me show you how it looks like before we move on. Look at the book of Mark, chapter number God help me. Mark chapter number 12, and then verse what? Verse, for the full story, you have to take it from verse 28, you know. But I want to show you something about all this. Let me narrate it for quick understanding. There was a scribe who came to Jesus Christ and asked him what the first commandment was. Jesus answered and said that the first commandment was to love God with all your heart, because God was one, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second one, Jesus gave him a bonus. The second one is that you love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said that there is no other commandment greater than these. So verse 32, so the scribe said to him, well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth. For there is one God, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. All right? So, you know, in the Old Testament, they are doing offerings and sacrifices. And Jesus Christ says that the highest is to show love to God and then to your neighbor. And this scribe, as if he's marking Jesus' script, and he says that, Jesus, you have said the right thing, because God is one. And if you love him, it is better than to give him burnt offerings and sacrifice. Now, when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, please underline wisely. When he saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. What motivated Jesus Christ to tell this man that he is not far from the kingdom is the wise answer that he gave. It was exceedingly wise for him to think that love to God and to mankind, love is better than all the ritualistic things of the Old Testament. Offering all the sacrifices, whether they are a million sheep, to love is better than that. And Jesus said that this is a very wise way of living. When he saw that the man answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Wonderful. That means to us that the kingdom of God is characterized by a wise way of living. Looking at two things, just opposing the things, you know, of religion and the things which is of the kingdom, you know, and saying that this one, it weighs better than that one. And to Jesus, that is a wise thing. And that means that the scribe is near the kingdom of God. So I just want to use this scripture, you know, to make you to understand that this exceeding wise way of living, of being a self-regulated person, somebody whose inner motivation, inner fire, inner drive, whose heat is coming from inside, who galvanizes himself to do the right thing all by himself, without any external influence, is a kingdom trait. That is why royal armies of the kingdom of God must live by this discipline, must be self-disciplined. So, self-discipline is to make yourself to do what you must do, when you must do it, whether you feel like it or not. Let us be frank, there are many things that we have to do that we don't feel like doing. A self-disciplined person will not be told by somebody to do it. He himself will do it on his own. People who do the right thing only when they are asked to do so, or when they are in public, or when they know that they will be assessed, or when they are in the mood for it, lack self-discipline. You know, as humans, it is easy for us to get to do the right thing because somebody is watching us. So we do the right thing. What about if nobody is watching us? What about if we are on our own? Are we going to discipline ourselves to stay and do the right thing, you know, to say the right thing, although nobody is there, you know, although nobody is there? I like Daniel. He was a kingdom man. He was such that he was taken away from his country. He was sent to Babylon, a religious place. In all the Bible, from the time Babylon is mentioned in Genesis chapter, is it 10 or 9 or 11, thereabout, till Revelations chapter 18, Babylon is talking about the religious order. Daniel was taken to a place of religion, right? But although he was far away from his country and nobody was watching him and he was in the palace, yet he did the right thing. He refused to bow down to the image of Nebuchadnezzar. Or I should say rather, he refused to eat that contaminated food that was offered to idols and then to him. That is self-discipline. And nobody is watching. When you are far away from your parents, when you are far away from the headmaster, when you are far away, the pastor is not around, has traveled to get yourself to do the right thing, be there on time, to say the right things, to do things well, then you are self-disciplined. Hallelujah. Whether you are in the mood or not. Let's look at some few importance of self-discipline. Number one, the first person to conquer as a soldier of God's army is yourself. The first person to conquer is yourself. There are many people who have conquered big territories, you know, in this world, throughout history. They have conquered nations. They have influenced big entities, corporations, you know, but who have fallen just because they lack this self-discipline. They lack self-discipline, you know. So, as a soldier in God's army, you have to conquer, first of all, your own self. Your own self. If there is anybody you must rule over your own self. When I say yourself, I'm talking about your old nature. And even your new nature, you must be able to control yourself. There is a Greek philosopher, Plato, who said the first and best victory is to conquer self. Your old nature is talking about that nature that will tell you that you are a sinner when you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. The old nature is that nature or that kind of voice, I should say, who will tell you that you are not righteous in the sight of God. Because of that, forget about how to live fine. Just do whatever everybody is doing. After all the students are doing it. Everybody your age, that is what they are into. Whether it's tramadol or whatever, you know. That is what they are into. But you have the self-discipline. You conquer your own self, your own bad nature. That will say that go and compromise yourself, go and sin, go and do bad things, you know, with the opposite sex, you know, go and tell your peace of mind to your housemaster, or maybe snub your mother. You dare not your father anyway. Normally it's the mothers who are challenged. That's your old nature. So when I say that the first importance of self-discipline is that the first person you should conquer is yourself, I mean that you must be able to control your own bad nature. That bad nature, that bad voice that tries to tell you to tell them all to go to somewhere, you know, that four-letter word. Tell them to go somewhere. Snub them. You have to conquer that voice. You have to be able to master yourself. It's important. It's important. Because when you are able to conquer your old nature, then you are in a better position as a soldier of God's royal army to punish every disobedience. Any obedience is fulfilled. All right. Number two, self-discipline is important because no matter how gifted and charismatic you are, your gift will not reach its maximum potential without it. In other words, you can be very charismatic. In other words, you can be somebody that people naturally, in fact, without your trying to work on it, people flock around you. People want to listen to you. You see there? Now, no matter how charismatic you are, that's the meaning of charismatic, somebody that draws attention, somebody that moves people, you know, no matter how charismatic you are, no matter how gifted you are, you will not reach anywhere. You will not reach your maximum potential without self. You know, in life, there are two things you have to know that you have. You have a gift and then you have character. You have charisma and you have character. Everybody has it. It's in various levels. It's important for you to know that charisma is not something that you really work at, you know. It's like a gift. It's something that God gives you. Adolf Hitler had it. Wicked as he was able to get people around him to perpetuate his wicked intentions on the Jewish people, you know. But a gift is a gift. It's something that makes you special to people, you know. It puts you in a certain, on a certain pedestal. It makes you look like so special. Never forget, it has nothing to do with you. It is a gift God gave you. It's part of his gifting that he imparted to you. And never think that it is anything that God is amazed with. You know, sometimes what human beings are amazed with, what makes us like divine, what makes us like God, it's very easy for human beings to think that God is amazed with that. No, he's not amazed with that. I keep on telling people that God is never moved with the miraculous, because that's how he is. That's how his nature is. The first impression we had about God in the book of Genesis was that he was a miracle person. Do you remember? Yeah. He just came and he said that let there be light, and then light came. He said that let there be fishes, and the fishes came. He commanded trees, he commanded animals, and everything was a miracle. He's just a miracle God. But afterwards, what did he do? If Adam wanted more fruit, was Adam going to command trees? No. He put seed within the tree that the natural should take over the miraculous. So that what? So that if the trees must be many, God is no more going to come down and say, let there be trees. No. He's going to have you take the seed, plant it over time, water it over time before you get another seed. All right. But the first impression he gave us about himself is that he's a miracle God. He's a miracle God. And that's very powerful. He doesn't want us to live in the miraculous all the time. You cannot. Sometimes believers, every day they want a miracle. That is not the believer's life.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Hallelujah. Once a while, yes, you need a miracle, especially when God has to intervene because you have been denied something for unfairly, you know. So he has to come in and correct some things. Because if he doesn't come in and he's just allowing the natural things, maybe your body will not be healed. Maybe your finances will not be improved. So once a while, God comes in to do it. But it's just once a while. He wants the natural to take over. I want you by wisdom to be able to increase what you have. It's not a daily thing. It's a once a while thing, you know. Actually, if you are wanting miracles all the time, do you know something? It means that there will be a stagnation in your natural. Oh yeah. Like Abraham, we call his getting Isaac a miracle. Why? Because for more than 25 years, this man could not have a child with a wife, Sarah. So you go to a time, God saw, no, I have to come in. Otherwise, it will be too bad. If you want miracle, you must be ready to suffer for that length of time. I don't know about you. You have to pray that, Lord, lead me not to do hard testing. Hallelujah. So there is the gift part of you, the divine part of you, and there is something that is not a gift. In other words, God's character is not really a gift. It is something that you have to work on. Work on it like you plant a seed and you water and you defend it and you water and you defend, you trim it, you work on it until the thing looks beautiful, desirous by everybody that I want to pluck the fruit from this tree. That's how character is. That is why God is going to judge us based upon your character than whether you cast out devils in his name, you prophesied in his name, you do all those miracles in his name, because that one is a gifting. You really have nothing to do with it. So he's not impressed with that. He wants us to work on our what? Echo. Our character. Our character. Our character. Hallelujah. Discipline is key. All right? So the point is that no matter how gifted and charismatic you are, you don't reach your full potential without self-discipline, which belongs to your character. Self-discipline doesn't belong to your gifting. It belongs to your what? Character. Hallelujah. It's powerful. Number three. Without self-discipline, you are not crowned a real victor, but disqualified, although you may run and appear victorious. Without self-discipline, let's go to our text in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter number 2, and verse what? Verse 5. And also, in the same spirit that he tells Timothy that he's a soldier, he's telling him again, and also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. You compete according to the rules. If you go and dope like a Russian, if you go and dope, if you go and take Tramadol, so that you can run and you can do hard work and all that, before men, they will say that, oh, what a wonderful athlete, what a wonderful man of God, what a wonderful whatever, student. But he took Tramadol. He took some drug that is giving him some extra strength. He didn't run by the rules. So although you may be first, yet the first position will be stripped off you. If the second in a race also took drugs, it will be stripped off him. And the third person then becomes first before God. Before men, you may look victorious, you may look wonderful, you may look super. But did you play by the rules of the kingdom? Or you played by some other rule that is able to make you run so fast, that is able to make you achieve results in men's sight so fast? Because there are rules like that. They are like drugs. An athlete will take drug to enhance his performance. But what does a preacher take? What does a student take for him to do well in school? For the preacher to have results before men? What I'm telling you is that there are equivalent things that will boost your success before men. But God is going to look not at your success. He's going to look whether you follow the rules of the kingdom. He is not moved by the things that we are moved by. It's unfortunate, but that is so. I think it's fortunate. It's good. Hallelujah. So that all of us will be encouraged. Because believe me, ladies and gentlemen, you will be there with your friends. They will cut corners, use certain drugs for them to excel in life, for them to go ahead of you academically, for them to do very well in school. Like one of my boys was telling me, that no, he knows people who cheated and all that. You know, he knows that people cheat in the classroom. People cheat. I said, no, you don't do that. Don't mind them. Do your work independently. And whatever comes, daddy is okay with it. Hallelujah. But some other people would cheat, like copy other people. Hey, it's strange, yo. They will copy other people. Please don't look at me funny. It happens. It happens all over. It happens all, even in the university it happens. In fact, more. Where they dab, they clone, you know, and they come out with flying colors. At the end of the day, you may have gotten a very high class. But believe me, God is the judge in this world. And he is going to ensure that at the end of the race, when the people who are supposed to be the high flyers have to be rewarded, you'll see that you get a reward in life, which you may not get in the classroom because you refuse to cheat, because you refuse to do the wrong thing with masters. Hallelujah. And with lecturers. Wonderful. Preachers can also do that. I am a preacher. There are things that you can do that your people will be afraid of you and you will get success. Believe me, that's what the Bible is teaching us. That you can run and have success, but if you didn't run by the rules of the kingdom, forget it. You are not crowned. At the end of the day, you are not crowned. That is why I keep saying, I like this saying the Holy Spirit gave me, that we don't follow success, we follow Jesus. At the end of the day, he is the benchmark. Not success is the benchmark. Whether you follow Jesus is what is key, is what is important. Hallelujah. So the point is that without disciplining your own self, you are not crowned a real victor, but you are disqualified. Although you run and you appear into inverted commas, victorious. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at the final thing, and I'll talk to you about how to develop self-discipline. Number one, the final thing, I've lost count, so choose a number. But the point is that without self-discipline, you are no threat to Satan because you are just beating the air. Your thrust does not hurt Satan's structures since your obedience is not complete. You see, we can't deceive ourselves. You can claim whatever thing you want to claim. But the reality is that at the end of the day, when all is said and done, self-discipline is going to affect whether you really destroy the works of the devil, whether you are a real threat to the devil. But sometimes the devil will make us to think that we are a threat to him and all that, especially when we are using wrong methods. You make us to think that we are a threat to him just for us to continue to use the wrong methods. Continue to use the wrong things. Think the wrong thoughts. Because he'll give you success. Are you aware? He gives you people success for thinking wrongly, for even worshiping him, just so that they will be encouraged to resist the truth and to walk in their own way. After all, they get a result through that low wisdom, not the one which is exceeding wise. A self-disciplined locust, a self-disciplined soldier who is marching in ranks. He has somebody inside of him. He's called the Lord Jesus. He's called the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who guides him to walk in rank. All right? So, people who are not self-disciplined, all the things that they are doing, it's like shadow boxing. You know shadow boxing? Shadow boxing is where there is no opponent, really. You are just punching the air. You are just beating the air. And you are blessed that you sweated. And you beat something. You didn't beat the devil. You are no threat to him because you lack self-discipline. Okay. Now, I want to teach you some three doable things that will help boost your self-discipline. Three ways to increase self-discipline. The first one is that you need to challenge your excuses. Excuses is Adamic power. It is the power of human beings. When Adam sinned in the garden and God came, Adam was trying to excuse himself. What did he say? The woman that you gave me, she caused me to eat it. He was trying to excuse himself that he's not to be blamed. It's the woman you God gave me. And God went to the woman and the woman said, it's a serpent. The serpent made me to do it. You know, so that's how human beings are. We are always giving excuses for our lack of performance, our lack of living up to the mark that God has set for us. We are always giving excuses for it. People say things like, the job you gave me prevents me from doing what you have called me to do. The school you blessed me with, the children you gave me, the man you brought into my life, that husband you God gave me, that wife you gave me, you know. Because human beings are always looking around for things that they should blame for their lack of performance, for their lack of discipline. So I want to encourage you to watch excuses. Excuses are like armed robbers. They come to rob you of the valuable things and leave you with the worthless things, useless things in the sight of God. They will take the correct things that has value before God, because it's not everything that you do that really has value before God. Really has value before God. There are some things which are more valuable to God than others. They are in measures or levels. The devil will use excuses, or you can use excuses to take away your working on the things which are value, which has eternal value before God, and leave you with the ones that has no value. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. So, you have to see excuses like that. Anything that tries to justify your inability to do something, ch- challenge it. Why can't I do it with my job? Why can't I continue this although I'm busy? Why can't I love God although I'm married? Why can't I, although I'm schooling, why can't I do this one also? Why is it not possible? You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.